Don't forget these four debts. We want to talk today about the idea of coming out of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, Paul illustrates these ideas very clearly. He first says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." God makes it clear to us that there are some things that just don't belong together. They shouldn't mix. Now often we hear the phrase, it's like oil and water. They just don't mix. Well, as Christians, there are some things that the world gets engaged in that we don't need to get mixed up with. He says, come out from among them and be separate. Now obviously, Paul, by his own life, Jesus, by his life, and the other early Christians, by their lives, indicate to us very clearly, by their example, that he doesn't mean that we become a Christian and we go move off into the top of a mountain somewhere with only Christians and never around anyone who's not a Christian. That would be the extreme of come out from among them and be separate. But that's not what he means. He doesn't mean that we physically move ourselves out of the world or into another place where the world can't touch us. He's talking about it on a spiritual plane. Spiritually, we need to come out of the world. Physically, we're still going to live in this world. We're still going to have interactions in the day-to-day activities with people who do not believe in God, who want nothing to do with Christianity. Sometimes we may even run across people who are belligerent and hateful toward Christians. That may be the case. But we are to come out from among them. We're not to be involved in those things, and certainly the sinful things. John Newton, who's probably best known as the writer of the song Amazing Grace, said this, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God I am what I am." Talking about the changes that we go through, none of us would say, well, I'm everything I ought to be. I'm perfect. And yet, if we look back over our past life and we look at where we've come from and what we used to be and what we used to do, especially those who have come out of the world into the church, and say, well, thank God I'm not what I used to be. I may not yet be everything I should be. I may not be what I hope to even become as I continue to grow as a Christian, but boy, what I used to be. Now, if we can't say that, if we look back and say, well, I wish I was what I used to be instead of what I am now, then there's a problem. If we're not growing, becoming more Christ-like and less like the world, or if on the other hand, maybe we are more Christ-like and less like the world, but we wish we were more like the world, then there's a problem. Either way, either we're not growing or else we have our minds and hearts set on the wrong things, wanting to be like the world. And we want to notice four gets this morning. And we don't want to forget any of them. The first one is, don't forget to get out of the world and into Christ. Get out of the world and into Christ. Now obviously, many of us have already taken that first step. We have become Christians. The Bible tells us in a couple of places that there's really only one way to come out of the world and to get into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So he tells us there, the step to get into Christ is baptism. We've been baptized into Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:26 and 27, it says much the same thing. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now the religious world has all manner of different theories about how one goes from being in the world to being in Christ. They talk about the sinner's prayer. They talk about tarrying for the Holy Ghost. They talk about getting voted on. They talk about a religious experience or any number of other things that they may talk about. But the Bible only ever tells us of one way to get into Christ, to go from being outside of Christ to being inside Christ. You've got to go into Christ. And the only way the Bible ever says, it never says you pray your way into Christ. It never says you believe your way into Christ. Now, it talks about believing in Christ. It talks about faith in Christ. In fact, it talks about that right here in Galatians chapter 3. Faith is important. But faith, without evidence of that faith, will not get you into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. That's the only way. That's the last step. That's the one that goes from, well, you're outside to you're inside. Now, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. You're still in the world if you're not in Christ. You need to get into Christ. Of course, for those who have done that, of course, we need to stay in Christ. Just as we got into Christ through baptism, we can leave Christ. We can depart from Him. We can desert Him. And we need to be sure that we remain in Him. And one of the ways that we do that is the second get. Don't forget to get the world out of you and Christ into you. First, we need to get into Christ, and then we need to let Christ get into us. See, the world many times, and even the religious people in the world, get that backwards. They talk about getting Christ into your heart, and then that'll get you into Christ. But that's not the way it works. The way the Bible describes it, you're baptized into Christ. You get into Him first, and then He'll begin to live in you. Then He'll become a part of your life. So we have to get, we don't want to get the cart before the horse here. John Flavel said, "It is easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own." Isn't it easy to look at everyone else's sins, everyone else's faults, and talk about, oh, they ought to do that better, they ought to quit doing that, or they ought to start doing that. But the Bible calls on each of us individually to look at self and get self right. Colossians 3, 5 through 10 says, "Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So it tells us, once we become a Christian, once we get into Christ, we put on Christ. Remember, that's what Galatians 3:27 says. We put on Christ. And then here in Colossians 3 and verse 10, he says, you've put on the new man. We put on Christ. We're supposed to be new. We're supposed to be like him now. And then he says, that new man that we're putting on is renewed after the image of him that created him. We ought to be becoming more like Christ. We ought to be getting the world out of our lives more and more, and looking less and less like the world and more like Christ. And I'm not talking about, you know, growing a beard and wearing a robe and sandals like Jesus did. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the physical. When we say look more like Christ, we're talking about spiritually, we need to be more like Christ and less like the world. In the way that we talk, the filthy communication out of your mouth. In our attitudes, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. You know those things? If we're still living in those things, we're still living with that. Well, that's just the way I am. I'm short-tempered. As a Christian, we've got to work on that. We've got to become less like the worldly part of us that was there, the members which were on the earth, and we've got to become more like Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we never get angry. The Bible talks about how we can be angry and not sin. The Bible talks about times when Jesus was angry. Anger has its place, but we have to rule anger and not allow the anger to rule us. And we have to be sure that the anger is directed at things that it's appropriate to be angry about and not inappropriately. And he talks again, he talks about the fornication, he talks about covetousness. As Christians, we're becoming less like those things. We're less interested in this physical world. We don't want everything. See, that's covetousness, wanting everything, want more and more, and greedy, and got to have every little thing that I see, I want it. I want, I want, I want. Now, the world is like that. Oh. Well, you've got to have every newest, latest thing. I mean, look, have you ever watched a commercial? You didn't know the thing existed 5 minutes ago, but now you've got to have one. Your life will not be worth living if you don't have one of these, whatever it is. And constantly, there's always something new, always something new. Gotta have this, gotta have this. And see, that's a worldly way of looking at it. That's covetousness, run amok, materialism. As we become Christians and become more like Christ then, and get more of Christ into us, we'll get less and less of the world into us. We'll become less and less concerned about having whatever latest thing that all the people in the world are so concerned about. We'll be less concerned about the status symbols of the world, and more concerned about what gives us status with God. And that's a growth process. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't become a Christian by being baptized into Christ and then rise up and say, oh, I'm not interested in anything the world has to offer anymore. Well, you might say that, but you'd be lying. It's something you're going to have to outgrow. You're going to have to get over it. But we need to think about those things. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates, unless you're reprobates. As Christians, Jesus Christ is supposed to be in us. Now, not physically, obviously. He's not possessing us in that sense. But His thoughts, His teachings, His attitudes toward things ought to become our teachings and our thoughts and our attitudes toward things. Are we doing that? Are we getting the world out and getting Christ in? Are we thinking more like Him? Do we ever even ask ourselves, well, what would Jesus think about this? What would Christ want me to do this? Do we ever even think that or ask that? We ought to. That's part of the process. Now, of course, we've got to study His Word to know whether He would want us to do this or that or the other thing. The Bible very clearly tells us that God has condemned certain things. And that people who live in certain ways and do certain things will be condemned by God. Of course, the King James Version even uses the word damned to describe that. Mark 16:15-16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," the Bible says. It bugs me that in the world they've taken that word damned, which means condemned, judged, found guilty, and they've used that word to describe everything, from a car to a traffic jam to a article of clothing to, you know, they use that word all the time and just throw it around. So much so that the word's really lost all its meaning in the world today. But there are some things, and we just read about them in Colossians 3, that God has damned. He has condemned those things. And He said, these things are not righteous. They are unrighteous. I've judged them already to be that way. And He tells us that if we live this way, the Bible tells us, you know, they do these things such and such and list them out. He says, those that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we already saw Mark 16:16, that if we don't believe, we will be damned. But see, because the world's taken that word and used it so much, it's lost its meaning to us. And we don't fear that like we should. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We ought to be afraid of doing those things that God has condemned. He said these things are sin. These things are evil and wicked. And as Christians, we don't need to be doing these things. We need to stay away from them. And then we need to put in the good things into our lives. We need to do the things that God has said we should do. The third thing that we don't need to forget is to get out into the world with Christ. To take Christ out there into the world when we go. We've got to go out into the world. I mean, we go out grocery shopping, we go out driving, we go to school or to work or to, you know, wherever, and we're out there in the world. We need to take Christ with us when we go out there into the world. Matthew 5:13-16 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we go out into the world, we need to let Christ's light shine through us, reflect off of us, however you want. We need to be lights in this world. Jesus said as long as He was in the world, He was the light of the world. Well, guess what? He went back to the Father. Guess who that leaves? Us. He's not here to be the light of the world anymore. Only through us can His light shine in this world. And we need to take it out with us everywhere we go. There's nothing sadder to me than to see a group of people who are supposed to be Christians acting in an unchristian manner out in public. And I've seen it a few times. Now, it was one of the things whenever we took the young people from church or something, took them somewhere, we always said, you know, what you are Christ when you're out there in this world. People are going to look at you. You're a Christian and you're supposed to represent Christ out here in this world. And you need to act like it. You need to show them how Christians behave. Ephesians 6:14-15 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We need to take the gospel with us everywhere we go to, the good news of Jesus Christ. It needs to go with us everywhere we are. Peter said we need to be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks us about the hope that lies within us. We need to be ready to answer anytime. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Well, if that doesn't tell us, everywhere we go, we ought to be living with Christ living in us. He's the reason we are living spiritually. And He ought to be the reason we live physically. We need to be sure that everywhere we go, Christ goes with us. As the old saying, man who determined, he said, I will never go anywhere where there is not room for my Master Christ to go with me. Where do we go? What do we do? How do we act? What are the things that we say? Are we showing Christ to others in our daily lives? We need to get out into the world with Christ. And then the fourth thing that we need to do is to get the world into Christ with you. Don't forget to get the world into Christ with you. Now, I don't mean the worldliness. I don't mean the worldly things. But the people who have a soul out there in the world, they need to get into Christ just like you and I did. They need to come to Christ. We needed it. We needed to get into Christ. We needed to become Christians. We need to help. They need to get in here too. Now, I know, and you know, and everybody knows that, well, not everybody's interested. In fact, most people aren't interested. Yeah, we know the Bible says narrow is the way and there's only a few that find it and those things. But we need to be working on it. We don't just throw up our hand, well, nobody's interested. There's somebody out there that's interested. We may have to find, sometimes it feels like trying to find a needle in a needle stack. You know, but we can find them. They are out there. The world has not yet gotten as bad as Noah's day. In Noah's day, he could really say, nobody's interested. But we're not there yet. There are still people out there that are interested in religious things. But we've got to get to them to bring them in. Acts 28:28, Paul had been going to the Jews, but at this point he says to them, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. The Gentiles, that's us, but that's also the people out there in the world. Now, not all of them are going to hear it. Not all of the Gentiles in Paul's day heard it. But there are some out there that will hear it. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If we're going to get the world into Christ, the first thing we're going to have to do is get the scriptures into us. We've got to know the scriptures, because the scriptures are the thing that are going to help get the world into Christ. They can't come to Christ without the scriptures. They can't come to Christ without the gospel. Paul said, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're going to have to go out there and talk to the world about the grace of God. But you know, when we talk to them about that grace, we talked about that in class this morning, we can't just forget about the other side. Notice what grace teaches us. Grace teaches us. So when we go out there with the grace of God, we need to be teaching people. And notice what we need to be teaching. What does it teach us? To deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's part of the conversion process. That's part of teaching people. That they're going to have to repent of their sins. We've got to teach them that. They don't know that. They've never been told that by anybody else. That's part of teaching. That's part of God's grace, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. To live soberly and righteously and godly. That's got to be taught. People don't understand what godly means anymore. They don't know how to live godly. That's got to be taught. And see, John 3:17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." See, God wants the world to be in Christ. He wants the world to be in the church. He doesn't want worldliness to be in the church, but all of us at one time were in the world, and we came into Christ and came into the church. And God wants everyone out there in the world to come out of the world and to come into Christ and His church. And we need to get out there into the world with Christ and work on getting the world into Christ with us. You know, sometimes we're a little reluctant to really let God have power over our lives. We're kind of like C.S. Lewis tells the story of when he was a child. He said he would often have a toothache. And he says, "I knew that if I went to my mother, she would give me something that would deaden the pain that night and let me get some sleep. But I didn't go to my mother, at least not till the pain became really bad. And the reason I didn't go was this. I didn't doubt that she would give me the aspirin. I knew she would. But I also knew that she would do something else. I knew that she'd take me to the dentist the next morning. I couldn't get what I wanted out of her without getting something more." I wanted the immediate relief from my pain, but I couldn't get it without having my teeth set right permanently. And I knew those dentists. I knew that they would start fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth that hadn't yet begun to ache. And, you know, that's kind of the way the Lord is. We come to Him with a particular sin, and we say, "Well, I want to overcome A, B, C, or Z. I want to get over this sin. It's causing me trouble in my life, Lord. I want to get it out of me." But He's not content to just get one sin out of you and leave the rest. Once you start letting Him prod around in there, He's going to find some other things that you need to get out of your life. That's one of the reasons I think a lot of people don't want to read the Bible. They know if I read the Bible, it's going to tell me some things that I'm going to have to change in my life. And so they think, well, ignorance is bliss. I'll just keep going the way I am. The fact of the matter is, they're going to be judged by the Word whether they read it or not. Might as well read it and know, so you can make the effort to avoid that judgment. We need to remember these four gets. Get out of the world and into Christ. Get the world out of you and Christ into you. Get out into the world with Christ. And get the world into Christ with you. How are you doing on those four gets? Are you getting it done? The old comedian said, "Get her done." Well, let's get her done. Let's get to work on those four things. If you're here this morning and you haven't been working on those things like you should, you may need to make some changes in your life. Maybe there's still some of the world in you that you need to get out. Maybe there's some of Christ in you, not in you, that you need to get in. Maybe you're still in the world and haven't got out of the world yourself yet. Maybe you're not getting out into the world and showing Christ in your daily life. Maybe you hadn't made any effort to let anyone else know about Christ, to bring them to Him. Whatever your need may be this morning, please respond as we stand and as we sing.